Welcome to In the Loop, a New England Temperature Solutions podcast. In today's episode, Dom DeLuca and Bob Pierce are going to take a walk through NET's history. They'll bring you all the way back to the company's roots, and we'll show you how we've grown over the years to be your trusted source of knowledge for any industrial temperature control application. Without further ado, here's Dom and Bob, helping you get in the loop.
Hello. Thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to give you a history of NETS, and joining us today is Dominic DeLuca, the owner of NETS, and myself, Bob Pierce. And without further ado, let's get into it, Dom. It's been a journey.
Yeah, and you were there at the beginning, but then again, you were there before the beginning.
Very true.
Several years back, for a couple reasons, I got asked to write the story of my life, and I go way back from a kid all the way to I was in my late 50s. And when you have a 30,000 foot view of your life on a piece of paper, I realized that the history of the company actually started when I was 15. There were circumstances that played out. As someone who believes that God ordains things, I could see these things that led me to owning this company. So I want to go back to 1975, and believe it or not, you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the background for a couple of reasons, and I had gotten the job at the Lasalle Shrine Cafeteria in Attleboro as a cook, and I learned a lot about cooking for a lot of people. We had all the lights there, so we had hundreds of people. And then I must have been responsible as a 15-year-old because he put me in charge of the cafeteria a lot of times, a 15-year-old in charge of all the stuff going on there. So that actually is what put me into my next job. But you were around me at those points because your girlfriend at the time was the mayor of Attleboro's daughter, and everybody knew, oh, that's the mayor's daughter, right?
Yeah, that's it's funny that you say that because I remember in freshman in high school saying to someone, you know, across the cafeteria, my wife Linda is across the cafeteria, and I said, hey, does anybody know who that is? And they said, oh, yeah, that's the mayor's wife. She's way out of your league. So, well, you know, right. 44 years later.
Right. So, and I remember seeing you and her during one of their festivals. They had the thing on Labor Day every year and big giant. And and I think you saw me there too.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. A matter of fact, Linda mentioned to me, she goes, you wouldn't believe there's a brother and sister singing group at the festival.
It was me and my sister.
Yeah, that's right. And so, of course, I went there to, obviously be with my now wife, girlfriend back then. Right. And we saw you and your sister playing. And yeah. And
so we were in each other's. We weren't friends. We didn't really know each other.
Right.
I know your name, but then from Lasalle, because the experience I had, I went over to Bliss Sandwich Shop, which was right down the road, and became. I didn't have to do dishes at either of these places. Which right now I'd love to do dishes. There are days just give me a dishwasher and leave me alone. You know, no accounts receivable, no accounts payable. But so I went to Bliss, and because I had experience, I got right into. Being cook and all that. And then it was 77, so I was 17. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I didn't want to go to college. So they put me in management. And and because I was in management, I was able to meet two people, which became instrumental again in our company, Sharon and Gloria Latham. Gloria was one of the first waitresses there ever. Everybody knew her, but they put me in charge of North Attleboro Bliss, and I met Gloria and Sharon there. During that time, because I didn't want to go to college, I did go to one college course, and I've got the test right here. I brought props today, and I kind of laugh at the test because I got a 54 on it, and. This is at a community college, business management. I got a 54, and my what we laugh about is my favorite question was this The art of management is controlling subordinates, and I put true, which was false. Some would argue I still believe that now, but I hope not as bad as I did back then. So when I went to Bliss, I was there for a few years, and then I left and went to Foxborough Company from Bliss. Mm-hmm. I had met Gloria and Sharon. I went to Foxborough Company mm-hmm. at Bliss, and lo and behold, who's at Foxborough Company
yeah,
but
so
you?
We officially met. So.
We officially met, and we worked together at Foxborough as systems checkout specialists.
That's right.
Yeah. On process control. So you actually went with me to get my first dog at lunch.
That's right. That's right. One day, Dominic says, "Hey, do you want to go get a dog?" And I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, let's go to the pound, and I want to get a dog." So we hopped in your Pinto.
Yep, Pinto, my 78 Pinto.
I don't know if many people remember what a Pinto was.
Google it.
Yeah, but we went at lunchtime, and you picked up your first dog. It was Laddie, right?
Very good, Laddie. Yeah. And do you remember why I picked him up?
Oh, boy.
So I wasn't a dog person. My wife wanted a dog, so I surprised her with this dog. But we go into the pound, and and there's 100 dogs, and 99 of them are like, you know. And this one was laying on the floor, quiet as could be. I said, "I'll have to take him, please." And he turned out to be an awesome dog. But, so you were there. We worked together in checkout. And then in and then this is where the La Salette Bliss story comes into play, because I'm at a church event, and we were at Foxborough, and I remember there were 70 people in the department when we started.
Yeah,
there were 20 people when I ultimately left in 1984,
right.
And we were sitting in panels reading newspapers, trying so people wouldn't see us doing nothing, right? So Foxborough was plummeting back in 83.
In the heyday, what, 12,000 people worldwide?
Right. So. I'd worked in East Bridgewater for a period of time, and they called the parking lot the Boondocks because there were thousands of cars. But so I'm at a meeting, just probably a church meeting on a night, and there's a guy who was part of the group. His name was Rick Amaral. And I joked with him, and I said, "Hey, are there any openings at your company?" He said, well, actually, they are. And he was a sales guy for Barbara Coleman, which ultimately is the company we, it migrated to is who we are. So I started with Barbara Coleman in April of 1984 because of that. And I would never have met him had I not met Sharon and Gloria, who brought me to that church. And I would have never been in that management position had I not been trained at La Salette. So that's that weird connection. And the reason I knew I loved this kind of job was Rick took me on my first sales call, and we went to Friendly's for lunch, and we had ice cream. And then I remember there was this ice cream shop on 146 right near Uxbridge. And we went there at 3 o'clock for ice cream at 3 o'clock. So I'm in no matter what. And I joke that, I know where every Dairy Queen is.
I was just going to say that you used to give directions based on geographic Dairy Queens.
Dairy Queens. So I leave Foxborough. I go to Barbara Coleman. I was a field service technician at the time. And then it was plummeting. So a year later, did you do?
We still kept in touch.
We were in touch, yep.
And things were just not going well. You could see the writing on the wall, for sure. We probably were down to 10 or 12 guys now in the department. And who do I call? I call my friend, Dominic. You say, "Hey, Dom, do you know of any openings?"
And he says, I say, "Yes."
As a matter of fact, we do. So,
and you came on as the plastic maker.
Yes, I was an applications engineer in the plastics machinery division. You were in the industrial process division. So we were in the same office, but in different worlds, if you will. Markets, excuse me.
Right.
So, but... did a lot of traveling to the main office down in Hackensack, New Jersey. Oh, so that was a...
Mine was in Tonawanda, New York, which is no picnic. And Rockford, Illinois. Did you go to Rockford, Illinois?
Oh, yeah. To the clock tower.
Clock tower, right.
Staying at the clock tower for training, yeah.
I would joke I spent a month in Rockford one day. And we would drive there because my wife's from Minnesota. We would drive to Rockford, Illinois. I'd go there for training, and then I'd actually go a little past there and drop her off with her family. But my kids love the Clock Tower Hotel, which is, I'm told, no longer there. But they'd be asking if they could see the Clock Tower in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
it was a long trip. But so that's 1985?
Yep, 85.
1985, you come on board with us. And in 1985, I was the number one sales guy, service guy selling service contracts. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they had gotten rid of the sales guy. Mm-hmm. And because he lost a big order that was high profile, and they offered me the job of salesperson. So I took the job. Mm-hmm. But because I had no college education, because I was a service guy, I got sort of penalized financially. I was getting paid not much more than a service guy, and I knew the sales guys were getting paid more. You were probably making more than me back then too as an engineer.
I don't know.
Who knows? We were making it in the 20s, right?
Yeah.
Low 20s.
Yeah,
low 20s.
Really?
If you can believe that nowadays,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we get to 1987, and they're not going to pay me. And I find a job with a company called Davis Associates. And Davis Associates was a manufacturer's representative, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what that was. And he had Athena and Grunberg and Lunair and Temposonics, MTS. He had a bunch of stuff. And I worked for him for about 9 months, and it was different. It was real different. And Doug was I just talked to Doug. He knows I'm going to talk about this, and I can't wait to send him the video, but I can't wait to show him this because that Christmas, he gave me, you know Doug now, he wore a bow tie. And Doug gave me, this is the bow tie that he gave me. I think it's been tied once, and he did it during a Christmas party at his house. But Doug was a great sales guy at a great firm. His son now, Bob Davis, is a real doing a great job selling Grunberg and Lunair all over the world. And they're doing well. But in 1988, we just had a new baby, and in the parking lot of Bose, Doug fired me, and he said I was lazy, and I didn't know what I was doing, and he fired me. And it's funny, because when I just called him, he says, "You quit." I said, "I didn't quit. You fired me. You called me lazy." And, so now I'm unemployed for 2 weeks. And I went looking for a job, and I found a job for some motor company in Connecticut. And Barbara Coleman wanted me back as bad as I wanted to go back.
Sure.
And I didn't know what I was going to do. And the B&B motor thing was more money. Mm-hmm. And then the personnel person called mm-hmm. me back and said, just so you know, you'd be fully vested in your 401k. And I had $5,000 in it that I could have gotten. So I said, done deal. So I went back to Barbara Coleman, and then you were there. You guys mm-hmm. had moved to Providence,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so we were in Riverside,
yeah,
right?
East Providence, Riverside.
At the building, and we were working together for a couple years.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then in 1991, we got a call. Did you get a call too?
Yes.
What was his name? Do you remember his name? Oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
Dave.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I can't remember.
So this guy
Dave Walters.
That's it.
There
Hi, Dave. If you're out there,
Dave.
Hey. So Dave Walters on a Sunday,
our regional manager,
for Barbara Coleman on a Sunday calls you and me.
Yeah,
and apparently called two other people. I think it was Dave Benz and Tom Scheck.
Correct,
because there were four of us, and they said,
and they were both in the Cleveland office with Dave.
Right,
and you and I were together here in the East Providence office.
Right. Exactly. So they said to the four of us, they said, I don't know what they said to you, but they said, "You're golden.
Yeah.
Coming tomorrow. Don't tell anybody we called. We're coming in.
Right.
We're shutting down. We were firing every direct person mm-hmm. in the country except four people.
Right. They were 30.
They were 30.
Yep.
So we were two.
Yeah.
Two of the 30. Two of the four that were the only people getting caught. You're golden. You're going to make $80,000 a year. Now, we won't go there yet. And I'm like, wow, we're making 30. I think I was making 30, maybe 31 at the time. You're going to make 80,000. Wow, And so we go in, and they take us aside, right? And mm-hmm. they negotiated with you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what they said to me, and then you can tell me what they said to you. They said, you're going to basically be in charge of the East Coast for heat treat, thermal products. And it became very apparent that I was going to have to get on a plane on Monday morning and come home on a Friday because it was from Maine to Florida and probably to Ohio. And you need to commit and tell and promise us that you're not going to quit. Right? Mm-hmm. What'd they say to you?
Basically the same thing. At this time, I had previously transitioned from applications engineer to technical sales, basically. They won me again, East Coast, taking care of the plastics. And again, it was pressure. They wanted you to commit right then and there.
Right.
Because obviously they had backups behind us.
Well, we know there was one, which I'll say hello to in a minute. So I said to them, I can't. And mm-hmm. I even called somebody at Barbara Coleman and they said, well, just tell them you're going to. I said, I can't. I said, I have a wife, I have children, and I have a ministry in my church, and I'm not going to get up on Monday morning and come home on Friday. It's just not my life. So they said, oh, okay, we'll get back to you. And then they called Kim Shipway. You're welcome. And they offered the job to Kim, and then they fired me.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman named John Perry, who they had gotten rid of. He was their old sales manager, and he came out to New England, to finish his days of selling. And John and I made a play the next day and said, mm-hmm. can we become the rep then?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't let anybody else do it, but they let us do it, which mm-hmm. which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That so in September 17th, 1991,
mm-hmm.
New England Temperature Solutions was started. Now, we tried to name the company, and you remember you were part of. Bob was there to name the company.
John, Dom, and I were sitting in the conference room of in East Providence, in the East Providence, and we're saying, we got to come up with they have to come up with a name for the company. And we were just bantering around, throwing out things. And I threw out, how about New England Temperature Solutions, right. NETS? Here we are today.
You should have copyrighted it. You should have copyrighted it. I remember mine was like Netsol, which is stupid. What does that mean? So you were there, and we rented mm-hmm. space, and we were still mm-hmm. With you guys until we parted ways.
That's right.
But, what they had done is they kept like 20 accounts, mm-hmm. right? They kept 20 accounts in New England and gave us the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone was a miracle because we had a company with thousands of accounts and revenue coming in right away. You don't start a company like that.
Right.
But something else happened that was, I don't know if I ever even told you this. So, because there were thousands of accounts that we were keeping and only mm-hmm. 10 that you were getting, they transferred all the accounts to us and then we're going to take yours out.
Mm.
Well, the next month we get this $10,000 commission check. Like, what's this? And they said, oh, shoot, we didn't take your accounts back. And they said to us, keep it. And that was a miracle because back then, we had no money.
Right.
I mean, we had, in order to get a line of the bank, we had banks say, we'll give you a $10,000 line of credit, but you got to put $10,000 in the bank, which was like, okay, how does that work?
Yeah, how does that work?
we'll take my money and pay you money to use it. So that was a big deal back then. And then, so that's 1991. And when did you leave?
A year later, in 1992.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
did you ever get the 80 grand?
No.
I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. What was it like staying there?
It was stressful.
I bet.
Very stressful. So I was never home. I was constantly working.
Wow.
Wasn't pretty. You could just see everything was just going to you know what in a basket.
Right.
So
right, yeah. We could beep it if you say it.
Yeah. No problem.
It was a terrible time for you guys. We being on our own, we had one scare. At the time, this company called CB had bought Foxborough Company. Mm-hmm. And then CB bought Barbara Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a big company. And there was an article in the local Attleboro Sun newspaper that said that, do you remember this?
Yep.
That said that CB was going to move the Foxborough Company
to Rockford, Illinois. Where Barbara Coleman was.
Yeah. No, they were going to move Barbara Coleman to Foxborough. That's what they were going to do. East Bridgewater. Okay. I worked in East Bridgewater. Yep. They were going to move Barbara Coleman from Rockford, Illinois to the East Bridgewater facility.
Correct. That's what it was. Yep.
So my partner at the time, John, you know, calls up somebody and says, "Hey, I hear you're moving." They go, "What?"
"What?"
and he says, "Oh, yeah, it's in our local newspaper." And the guy says, I think it was George Prentice, who owns Instacon now. Shout out to Instacon. George says, "Can you send it to us?" So we fax him the article.
Yeah.
Within an hour, there are 2,000 copies of it distributed to Barbara Coleman.
That almost sealed the fate of Nets.
We were horrified they were going to fire us. The next day, nobody shows up for work.
Right.
The governor of Illinois gets involved and stops them from moving to Foxborough because of what we did. We are another miracle. We were not terminated. Yeah. I mean, we were scared to death. Yeah. We just said, the guy who, you know, I forget which sales manager we had, but he said, "Keep your head low. Just keep your head low. Don't say anything." And we survived that one. So then you go from Barbara Coleman to...
Yeah, so I went to a systems integrator. I'm not going to name names right now. And I went from one bad situation to a worse situation. And all along, you and I kept in touch with, you know, matter of fact, our families. We went together to the circus.
That's right.
At the Worcester...
I was going to try to find that picture of our kids.
Yeah, we tried to.
Of our kids together at Circus during that time.
So from there, I think it was about a 16-month stint that I did at that systems integrator. They were located in Massachusetts. And from there, I went to work for Control Systems Engineering in Pawtucket. And basically kept in touch with you from 92 to all through to the last day of 1999.
Right.
And
well, you would obviously before that, before that, you would ask if there was any openings.
Absolutely.
And so we had an agreement, and the agreement was
because of Y2K, you know, if the world didn't end on Y2K, you have a job.
That's right.
So lo and behold, January 1st of 2000, I started with Dom.
Y2K was nuts, though.
It was.
I had a guy from a company which I will not name who was asking me for a Y2K certificate on a thermocouple. And I'm saying, well, it doesn't exist. There's no clock on a thermocouple. He goes, "No, you have to. We're a government contractor. You have to." I said, "Look, it's as Y2K compliant as a fork."
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're not getting it. I'm sorry. Click, you know, but it was a crazy time. And nothing happened. We did have to change our voicemail system back, though, right? We had to put it down in 1984 or something like that.
Work
and got around it. But yeah, so you come on board. So I don't know. I don't know if I say this, but I've been married 67 years.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. my wife knows this. I've been married 42 years to my wife. Coming this August, and then you and I started our wedding, our marriage,
25 years,
25 years ago, and counting.
Yeah.
So
we had to bend the rules a little bit, Andy.
So yeah, I joke. I've been married to two people.
Yeah, I'm his work wife.
Work wife, and because we bicker, you know, kind of like, but so you've been here for 25 years,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
And behind the scenes longer than I've known you, longer than I've known my wife, really. But, I remember I went on my honeymoon, I was working with you at Foxborough, in Mansfield. But, so you come on board in 2000 and then it gets, you know, right after that, we had 9/11, right? And we're in Rehoboth at the time, right. And 9/11 hits, right. And we have to uproot. And,
But where were you? Because we were both on the road that day. I remember exactly where I was.
Yeah, I was going into a plastic account in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Okay.
And yeah. Lois, our secretary at the time, office manager, you know, calls me and I had a Nextel phone, one of those flips.
Yeah. The walkie-talkies in it?
Yeah, yeah. I'll get it later. And then she calls me again. I go, what's up? A plane just hit the World Trade Center. It's like, and I just knew right away. Yeah. I don't know why, yeah. But it was terrorism. And then I remember calling you and saying, where are you? And you were at AT&T in Andover, North Andover, right?
Yeah.
I remember saying, get out of there. Well, yeah. I got to know, Bob, nobody cares right now. Get out of there. Yeah. And that was a horrible day. But we ended up, because the business crashed.
Tanked.
We ended up moving into my house, my basement, my house.
That's right.
And we worked there for a while.
Yep.
And that was a learning process for us all. We were still trying to, you know, figure out business and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then in the next big step, I think, for the company is what happened to me personally in 2004. Mm-hmm. In 2004, I was introduced to what was called the Global Leadership Summit, which was a business group. It was out of a church in Barrington, Illinois, and they would bring in people like they had Bob Eisner, they've had Jack Welch, they had all these big business leaders along with, you know, Christian business leaders as well. Mm-hmm. But during that time, one of the things that I was compelled to do through that summit every year, which I get to run the production of it in our local church. It was simulcast all over the world, and I ran the satellites and all that. And one of the things I learned is that reading was probably good. I had probably read one book in my life, right? Which is why I was an F student. And I took accounting too, and I failed at that as well. But I read 60 books in one year, and I have a printout of them. I brought it, and I was almost telling you how many pages, and I can tell you every book I read that year. There was 60 books, and basically, I got my do-it-yourself MBA, is what one of my friends told me, and that got me to really think about business, because prior to that, I thought the object of business was to lose money so you didn't have to pay taxes. I didn't know you were supposed to consider, you know, profit and all that. So, and during that time, that's when I was thinking more entrepreneurially. Mm-hmm. I had permission. I read one of the first books I read was recommended by a friend of mine, Ron Ware. It was called The E-Myth, and I realized I was an entrepreneur at the time. And I can remember sitting in my office, and after you and I were having a discussion here, mm-hmm. and thinking, wait a minute. I'm doing something now that I hate to do. I'd rather wash clean toilets, right? And Bob loves this. And Bob's
not
doing
cleaning toilets.
No. And Bob's doing something that he hates that I love. Why are we both doing this? So
yeah.
It was a huge change in the direction of our company, because then you went the engineer path and I went the sales path.
Correct. Yep.
And it kind of catapulted us into a much what's now a really efficient company, mm-hmm. of people with roles.
And as they say, the rest is history, right?
We're not a $50 million company, which we'll talk about in a little while why that may not be. But then so we got in good place, and then 2008 hit,
mm-hmm.
recession of 2008 hit, and we again downsized, and we survived. Mm-hmm. We were efficient. We were lean and mean, and
literally picking up the phone to make sure we had a dial tone.
So. Right. It was a scary time. It was probably, maybe, I don't know if it seems scarier than COVID, but maybe because we'd been through it a couple of times.
Yeah.
9/11,
yeah.
You know, 2008. Yeah. We learned how to dial it back at 9/11, mm-hmm. but we had this place. You know, we had,
right.
in yeah, my house, I had no rent.
Right. Because we moved here in 2004. Yeah.
In my house, I had no rent. Here, we had rent. We had expenses. We had condo fees and all that stuff. So it was a little more costly, but mm-hmm. but lessons learned through 9/11, you know, got us through. Because we do marketing and stuff, we step changed when we came back, because we were able to market to our clients while all our companies had let people go. There was nobody to let go.
Sure.
Me and you, right? And unless I was going to get a divorce, you weren't going anywhere, right? So. So we made it through that, and then you know, in 2010, we took on Foxborough Company, and we went that whole path with that whole market. And I don't remember much interest in them. Then we've had people, you know, come and go, mm-hmm. and we've had mm-hmm. lines, but we've got to a point now where in 2010, actually, we did start doing videos, if you recall.
Yes.
We started doing videos. We had Peter Sherwin here, and mm-hmm. we had Chris Mooney. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Mooney was one of the first guys. He's now a bigwig at Eurotherm Wallow.
Yeah.
one of our first videos. And I remember filming, we got a light, and we got this really little Kodak little 780p camera, which we thought was pretty cool. And we came back from dinner. Were you there that night when we filmed it? And it almost caught on fire. The light had been...
Oh, yes.
We could have burned the whole place. It could have been the end of it.
Yeah.
But so we started doing videos, and mm-hmm. you know, through the 2010s to now, we've just been creative, grown to a decent size.
Yeah.
We streamlined a few years back. We got out of the process market and stayed within a temperature market mm-hmm. to focus. Went through COVID,
mm-hmm.
survived that, but you know, we're here today stronger than ever. We have a fabulous team,
fabulous core of people here. Fabulous.
Fabulous team. So that's kind of the history of the company. You got any questions?
Well, what was one of the most embarrassing moments in your career?
I think about this sometimes. It just scares the crap out of me because I was a young sales guy, just like, I wasn't trained or anything. I was thrown in a position, and you know, I was young, and I was at a company. I think it was Thermo Electric in Waltham, mm-hmm. and I can remember well. And the customer's coming out, and he's getting ready to shake my hand, and I sneezed in my hand, and I went through with the handshake. I'm like, what was I thinking? Yeah. I mean, I don't remember doing business with that guy, so maybe that's why. Yeah. So, but yeah, that would have to be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. How about you? What was the most embarrassing thing for you?
Well, there was a few over the years, but one that stands out the most is I had a meeting with a woman at Saint-Gobain in Worcester. And
Saint-Gobain.
Yeah, Saint-Gobain, yeah. And I'm sitting in front of her desk, and she had multiple picture frames on her desk, all facing her, of course. And we're talking about an application, you know, this and that, so on and so forth. And just out of the blue, I came out with, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And you could just tell the whole atmosphere changed. And all of a sudden, she turned around her pitches, and she's a cat lady.
Oh my.
Cats! Well, let's just say the meeting ended.
Well, see, good thing there wasn't me. I would have said, okay, we got a lot of different ways. How can we skin each of these? We can come on, you know. So you haven't done that since, right?
Oh no. No, no.
No. That's funny.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have any regrets and what are you the most proud of as being the owner of Nets?
Yeah, so obviously everybody has regrets, right? I'd have to say that I do regret learning the ropes. I've hired people that I probably shouldn't have hired mm-hmm. and had to let them go. And you know, especially in the seat that I sit in today with what I know about things today, is that, you know, I probably wrecked some, made life difficult for some people because of my inability to understand how to hire people. Let's see, other regrets. I regret, I wonder sometimes about the smallness of the company, whether I should have made it bigger or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of ties in with probably what I'd say is what I'm most proudest of or blessed on. And then, you know, today one of the things I realized, and it's actually is that my role as someone who claims to be a Christian is that I have a responsibility to my employees to treat them that way. And I wish, one of my regrets is I didn't know that sooner, because I think I could have done a whole lot better and a whole lot more with things that we're trying to do now, and that's just helping people out and just being a better boss, not being like the guy in the test, you know, showing more love, peace, patience, that kind of stuff. Those, you know, that one would expect or want to see from someone who claims to be a Christian. On the what am I most proud of? What am I what do I think I'm blessed by? I'm proud that when we took the company, I said we're going to do this between 8 and 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you violated that a few times. You'd get a call from me, "Hey, I drive by. What are you still doing in the office, Bob?" You know, I appeared to keep to that. You know, 8 to 4:30. I learned in several of those books. If it's not done at 4:30, it's not going to be done at 6:30 either. So, I've had a decent work-life balance, and I've held that standard to my employees as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever asked people. I mean, there are times, there are little seasons where we had to go the extra mile,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
But so we managed to do it. That was my philosophy I had at the beginning, 8 to 4:30 period, because mm-hmm. When I started my business, I was told, you can't do it. So that was... that was a cool thing, and it may be related to the next thing that I'm kind of proud of is as a company in the last 32 years, what it is, 32, 33 years. You know, I calculated it out not too long ago that we've given close to $1 million away to charity in 32 years, which
fantastic.
That's not bad.
I would say that's much better than not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know?
Yes.
You know? Yeah, pretty good. And the other thing that I'm happy and sort of I'm proud about is got to work with my dad for a while. Mm-hmm. My dad was our service guy.
That's right.
In the 90s and 2000s.
Great guy.
Yeah. You know, you don't, as a kid, didn't really talk much, but we, you know, when we were working together, we'd be talking a lot. It would be great. You know, it was great to have my dad work for me. I got mm-hmm. two of my children to work for me. Just till recently, my daughter worked for me and my wife, sometimes, you know, my wife would drive me. Mm-hmm. She'd be my chauffeur. It was a cool way to...
The other one, not me.
Yeah, my real wife, yeah, would drive, and we'd get to spend time together. I'd get to work in the back seat. It was an efficient thing, and
sure.
We'd get to go places together and stuff like that. So that, and then, you know, I guess, not I guess, and really having a friend like you mm-hmm. all those years, because I know that... I've got a book in my other office, and we won't beep this. It's about assholes, and I'm on half the page. I can be that way, and I mean CEOs can be that way, and that's another regret is not understanding that shouldn't be that way for a long time. And you've put up a lot with me as
you have with me.
Well, so. Yeah, but that's. You know, so that goes, you know, there's a kind of regret there, but also a blessing of having you and your wife in my life, and the dedication of this company you've had is...
Same with you and Don.
I mean, there's days where I think he cares about more of the company than I do right now.
Yeah.
No, so that's been a great thing. And you've been, I mean, our customers, I joke, everybody sends him thank you. We love Bob. They tell me, we love Bob. Nobody sends, I love Bob. Like, well, then just send money. You know, I mean... Yeah. But then, you know, talking about money, I realized later in the last several years that, you know, business you need money to keep going
mm-hmm.
and you need revenue, and you've got to make a profit or you've got to start laying people off. Right. I mean, that's the only biggest expenses are not pencils, they're people. And so very serious about that. But at the end of the day, it's not about money. It's about people, and it's about treating people right and trying to do the right thing behind them and making their people spend most of their life at work. So how can we make it so that it's an enjoyable, peaceful, that's why the vision that I have for the company is to be an oasis. And that is to be a refuge, a place, you know, an oasis is cold water, a glass of water in the middle of a desert, and mm-hmm. try to be that to our customers, which is why we try to solve their problems, but certainly to our employees, certainly to our vendors. And then we do the best to, to be that way mm-hmm. to our customers. So that's the history kind of our company. If you haven't fallen asleep yet, if you have, ding, 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 wake up. And I want to thank you for your dedication and service. 25 years this year.
And counting.
And we look forward to, both of us look forward to serving, continuing to serve all of you.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting in the loop with us. We hope this podcast was informative. And if you need any assistance on anything in the thermal process industry, please feel free to reach out to us at 800-848-NETS. That's 800-848-6387. Or visit our website at www.nets-inc.com to fill out a request for information form. If there are any topics regarding thermal processes that you would like to hear on a future podcast, please send us a comment. We hope you have an awesome day every day.